One class is over. And what all we studied in that class? Yeah, why study this topic, right? We started there. Isn't it? When we study something, that's the first thing, you know, the first point where we have to start. Tell me what we studied. Yesterday we started with the reasons for studying this topic, isn't it? How many reasons? Five. All remember that? Yeah. Don't have to repeat that, right? Then after that, the word church. We saw something about the church, isn't it? The meaning of the church. What is the meaning of that word church? What is it? The Lord's. Yeah. Then we thought of some other word also which is used in the New Testament in Greek language for that word church. What is it? Yeah. Even before I ask you the question, your answer, isn't it? Okay. Ecclesia. What's the meaning of that word ecclesia? What is it? Yeah, a called out company, isn't it? A group of people who are called out. They are called as ecclesia. Ek plus kalio, isn't it? Ek means out of. Kalio means calling. Put together, a called out company. Alright? A group of people who are called out. So, then what? Two aspects of the church. What are they? The universal church and the local church. What is a universal church? From the day of all the believers, from Pentecost to the rapture. Rapture means, yeah, the taking up of the church, isn't it? When the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, He's going to take up the church, isn't it? That is the rapture. Until then, you just think about the people who were born again on the day of Pentecost. Which chapter of the New Testament we see about the Pentecost? Acts 2. Acts 2. Think about the believers who were born again on that day. On the first day, how many were born again? Three. Only three people. 3,000, isn't it? 3,000. So 3,000 people were born again that day. Alright? So, just think about the, where are those people now? The 3,000 people, where are they now? Yeah, dead and gone, isn't it? They are with the Lord. And then there were many other people also added. Just think about all the people. They're all with the Lord now, right? We are here on this earth, right? Alive. And suppose the days are going to go on like this, no? For many more years, we also will go. We also will go, right? Or we are going to live forever? No, no. We also will go, isn't it? And then other people will come, right? Will believe and be added. Put together is what? Universal church. Some are with the Lord, some are in the earth, some are yet in future. Right? So think about all of them. They all put together is a universal church. Which is the portion of the New Testament where we have the mention of the universal church for the first time? Matthew 16:18, isn't it? Matthew 16:18. The Lord said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Then we saw about the local church. Local church. What is a local church? Yeah, 2 or 3. Yeah. If it is more than two or three, what we will do? Divide, isn't it? Make it down. Yeah? Make it 2 and 3. Is it? 2 or 3, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my midst, gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Where do we have it? Matthew 18:20. There are 2 and 3, the speaks of the smallest, you know, kind of a church, isn't it? When you say about the local church, that means a group of people in a locality which are separated by God, by the gospel, alright, gathered unto His name, for witnessing and worshipping in that locality. That's the local church. Just think about our own place. There is churches there, isn't it? That's a local church. And the first place where we have the local church mentioned is that Matthew 18:20. And in both the places we see the person who revealed about it, uttered about it for the first time is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord of the church, or the Lord of the churches. Now I want you to, you know, share some more truths about this two aspects of the church. We are continuing with that same topic in this class also. The two aspects of the church. That is the universal church and the local church. See, both these aspects, the universal and the local, they are two different ideas. They are two different aspects. But one thing we have to remember, though they are two different things, they have a relationship also, one another. In fact, the local churches, it's visible, am I right? Yes or no? The local churches are visible, isn't it? Universal is what? Invisible, isn't it? Yep. One is visible, one is invisible. The visible should be the manifestation of the characteristics of the invisible. You understood what I said? The visible should be the manifestation of the characteristics of the invisible. Have you heard of Atlantic Ocean? No? Atlantic Ocean? Yeah, Atlantic Ocean. Touches how many continents? It touches how many continents? You study some geography also in between, isn't it? It's good. Tell me, which are the continents it touches? It touches America, it touches Africa, and it touches Europe. Right? I'm sorry? America, Africa, and Europe. Suppose you go somewhere, say, in America, stand on the shore, and look to that wide ocean. You look at Atlantic and say, that is Atlantic Ocean. Right? You are pointing to that water and saying, this is Atlantic Ocean. Is that statement right? Is that statement right? It's a very difficult question, isn't it? Is that statement right? Looking at, when you look at it, how many kilometers you can see? Say 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers, right? You can see only a very small part of Atlantic Ocean, right? And looking at it and pointing to it, you are saying this is Atlantic Ocean. Is it right? In a sense it's right, in a sense it's not right. Yes or no? In a sense it's right because it's Atlantic Ocean after all. It's not right because that alone is not the Atlantic Ocean. It's so wide, isn't it? You cannot see it all. The relationship of the universal church with the local church is like that. Local church is that visible one. And the universal church is the invisible. Invisible. Did you get it? But there is one thing. You know, do you take some water from that portion where you can see that Atlantic Ocean and take it to the lab, test it, alright? You write down all the properties and then go to another continent and take some water from that area, the same Atlantic Ocean, take it to the lab, test it, you will have the same properties. Am I right? Same water. So what I'm trying to say is, well, the local churches, that visible aspect ought to be the manifestation of the what? Universal invisible church. Alright? That visible should be the manifestation of the characteristics of the invisible. Or the local church ought to have those characteristics of the universal church. Did you get what I'm trying to say? Now, we will see that in a different way also. When you come to the New Testament, there are various metaphors or illustrations used for the universal church. And there are various illustrations used for the universal, just now I said what, local or universal? Universal, okay. There are various illustrations used for the local churches also in the New Testament. If you look at both those, you know, lists of illustrations, there also we see the same truth. We are going to see those illustrations. For the universal church, there are 7 illustrations in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, you have 7 illustrations for the local church also. 7 each. Now we won't read it. I will just give you the illustration and you can write. I will give you the reference also. You can write it in your note. Okay? Universal church, or the metaphors or illustrations for the universal church. Number 1, body. Body, that is the human body, alright? Body. Ephesians 1 verses 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Number 2, building. Building. Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22. Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22. Number 3, spiritual house. Spiritual house. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10. 1 Peter 2 verses 4 to 10. Number 4. New man. A new man. Ephesians 2 verses 11 to 18. Ephesians 2 verses 11 to 18. Number 5, bride. Bride. Ephesians 5 verses 28 to 32. Ephesians 5 verses 28 to 32. Number 6, flock. Flock. John 10, 16. John 10, 16. Number 7, a city. A city. Revelation chapter 21 verses 2 to 10. Revelation 21, 2 to 10. All of you got that 7 metaphors and its references? It's about which aspect of the church? Universal church, the universal church. Now coming to the second list. That's about the local church. The metaphors for the local churches. Metaphors for the local church.
Number one, body. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Body, 1 Corinthians 12:27. In between, let me tell you one thing, which will help you in taking notes, not only here, but otherwise also. You take notes in the assembly also, when somebody is preaching? Yeah, very good. So this, what I'm going to say will help you in all that, more than what you have in ABC for teens classes. You know, suppose I say body, 1 Corinthians 12:27, alright? Then what you will do? You will start writing. You will write what first? First what you will write? Body, alright? First you will write body, then hyphen. Then you will start thinking, which was the book he said? Yes or no? Is it first something? Is it first Samuel or, I don't know, yeah? Then sometimes we don't remember, yeah, 1 Corinthians. After 1 Corinthians, you don't remember what? The numbers. You know, another thing we have to remember. We tend to forget what first? Numbers or the words? Numbers. Alright? That is what we tend to forget first. When I say body, 1 Corinthians 12:27, first the 12:27 will get erased. You know? Then 1 Corinthians. Then body. So when you write body, the others are well gone. May not be true for everyone. May not be true in this class because we are going very slow, isn't it? In other, you know, sermons and all, when you try to take notes. So the numbers, you know, you forget first. So you know what you should do? Write the numbers first. Alright? Write the numbers first. Leave the gap for that word body and 1 Corinthians. First you write 12:27. You got it? 12:27. Then write 1 Corinthians. Then even if you have forgotten that metaphor body, later you can go to that verse and see what is that metaphor used there. Did you get it? You will find that word body there in that verse. And you can add it later. Suppose it is the reverse, the other way around. You write body, but you forgot the reference. You got it? There's no way of finding it at all. You get it? And a point which does not have a reference has no value at all. You know that? We cannot make our own points. Unless you have the verse, it has no meaning. So, when somebody is giving a message, try to write the reference first. And then come backward, filling the words, points. Alright? In the beginning it will be difficult to go with that order, but once you get used to it, it will be very helpful. Fine? Clear or not? Yeah. So, did you write that first metaphor? What was it? Body. You got the reference also? Yeah. Number two. Building. 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Number three. A tillage. TILLAGE. A tillage. What is the meaning of that tillage? What is it? What is it? Farm. That's what you said? Then? I thought you said that. Yeah, it means a farm, you know, agriculture, things like that, you know. Tillage. You have that word coming in 1 Corinthians 3:9 again. 1 Corinthians 3:9. And number four, virgin. Virgin. V-I-R-G-I-N. 2 Corinthians 11:2. 2 Corinthians 11:2. And then the fifth one, an epistle or a letter. Epistle. 2 Corinthians 3:3. 2 Corinthians 3:3. And number 6. A flock. Flock. Acts 20:28. Acts 20:28. And then number 7. Lampstand. Lampstand. Revelation 1. What verse it is? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13 and 20. Verses 13 and verse 20. So you got the two lists of metaphors of the universal church and the local church. Alright. Now, why these metaphors are being used? Why metaphors are being used? Can you tell me? Why the metaphors? Why the epistles, you know, when Apostle Paul and others are writing about the church, why do they use illustrations like this? Yeah, the reader should understand, isn't it? Illustration is some figure that is familiar to us, alright? Think about the lampstand. Everyone has a lampstand in their homes. Not about us, but now we have all electric bulb and all that. Think about those times, isn't it? People used to have the lampstand, upon that they light the candle and keep, isn't it? So the lampstand. So when it's written lampstand, everyone knows, yeah, what a lampstand is. And when it's written, a tillage, a farm, well, everyone knows, because people were all, you know, farmers then. And the bride and things like that were familiar illustrations. And those familiar things were used to show them or to teach them things that were not very familiar, they were not familiar with. Alright? That is why the illustrations are used. So, if you look at all these illustrations, well, there will be one or two lessons which we can pick up what the writer is trying to teach those people. But we are not going to go into all those details. After you go home, you can try it, alright? Take these references and see what the writer is trying to imply, trying to teach those people who read it, alright? Truths about the church. But one thing I want you to notice from this, if you look at both these lists, alright, if you look at both this list, we see certain illustrations in both the lists, common to both the lists. I want you to pick up which those common metaphors are. Body, body, then building, then flock. Anything else? Only three, right? Only three. Body, building, flock. Now, these are common in both. Alright? When you say these are common in both, well, that means the truths that these implies ought to be seen in both the entities, in the universal church and in the local church also. Think about that body. When you say body, what is the truth that the writer is trying to convey? When you say body, what is the truth that the writer, the apostle who used that illustration, trying to teach the readers? If you look at those portions, the most important truth, there may be many truths, the most important truth that the writer is trying to teach the people is the submission. Body is under submission to the what? The head, right? Yes or no? Now my hand is moving. You can see it moving, right? Who asked them to move? From where the direction comes? From the leg? Yeah? From the brain, or from the head, isn't it? So, when you think about the body and the head, Jesus Christ and the church should be in submission to the head, the Lord Jesus. Submission ought to be there in the local churches. In the universal church, it is there, alright? In the universal church, it is there. That should be there in the local churches also. Submission. The youngsters submitting themselves to the elders. And each one submitting one another. Each person committing themselves to the keeping of their duties. Submission in various ways are necessary in the church. We don't have to elaborate on that. The second thing was building, isn't it? The building. Building is for what? Building is for what? To see, is it? Huh? What is that? For? To live in. Right? To dwell in. We don't simply build a building, isn't it? We don't build a building and go and live in the street and every day come before that building and see, enjoy and go back to the street every day. No, nobody does like that. If you have a flat, if you have a house, it's for living, isn't it? You're going to live there. So, when you look at the metaphor, it says that the church is the building of God, or the house of God, the dwelling place of God. He wants to dwell among his people. Alright? He wants to dwell among his people. And if he should dwell among his people, one thing should be there. You know, there is a verse in the Old Testament, that is in Psalm 93 verse 5. Can one of you tell me what verse that is? If you do not know by heart, you can just open to the Bible and see what it is. Psalm 93 verse 5. What is it? Psalm 93 verse 5. Oh, what is it? Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. What does it mean? In his dwelling place, holiness ought to be there. Every member should keep themselves holy. That's about us, isn't it? We should keep ourselves holy so that he may dwell among us, you know, at home. And now the third one, what was the third metaphor in both the lists? Flock. Flock. When you think about the flock, there may be many truths in this also, but the most important thing is unity. Right? When you think about a flock, what is there? Many sheep come together in unison, isn't it? They are all one. Following the one shepherd, isn't it? Following that one shepherd. So that speaks of unity, oneness. Can somebody read John 10:16? John 10:16. That's about the universal church. Can, yeah. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. And they shall be one fold. And one shepherd. Look at the last portion. They shall be one. One. What is it? Some are telling one flock. Some are telling one fold. What did you read? And they shall be one? What did you read? What did you read? One? They shall be one? Fold. In your Bible it is flock. Yeah? In your Bible it is flock or fold? Flock. Now tell me, what is the difference between a flock and a fold? You have seen a flock? Have you seen a flock? Nobody. At least in the picture we have seen, right? Yeah? A flock means what? Lot of dogs coming together, isn't it? Then? What is a flock? Sheep, isn't it? Ah, sheep, ah, many sheep together, isn't it? That is a flock. Now tell me, what is a fold? Or what is the difference between a fold and a flock? Fold is the place where the flock is kept. Got it? Flock is just a fence around with one door, with one entrance. Right? Are you all here? You all understand this? Yeah. A fold is a fence with one entrance. In the evening, the shepherd brings the flocks and makes it enter through the door and close the door. All the night it's inside. Okay? That is a fold. But when you speak of the flock, it is that sheep itself. Alright? It is not the fold. It is not the fence around. It is that sheep itself. So sheep is, the flock is not the fold. Fold is not the flock. Fold is just the enclosure where the sheep is kept, the flock is kept. Did you get the difference? Did you get the difference? Yes or no? Yes. Now listen to that verse again. Can you read it again? From the beginning, verse 16, John 10:16.
Other sheep I have.
Which are not of this fold. Let me tell you one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling this, okay? The Lord is telling, this fold. This fold refers to the Jewish people, alright? The Jewish people. The Lord is telling, there are other folds also, alright? There are other folds also. That may be the Gentiles, you know, many other groups, the non-Jews, alright? So the Jews and the non-Jews. And the Lord is telling now, I have my sheep in both this or the other folds and this fold also. Now I am going to take my sheep out from this and I am going to make one. I am going to make one. Yeah, in this King James Version, you read King James Version, right? It is fold, but it should be flock, right? It should be flock. That's why in some translations, it is rightly translated as flock. Alright? They shall be one flock, not one fold. The Lord was not doing this. He's not taking some people from here, taking some people from there, and put together, make another fold. Another enclosure. No. That is not what the Lord did. What the Lord did is, make one flock. You think about a fold, the flock inside is being kept together by that fence around. Am I right? The flock inside is kept together by the fence around. But think about the flock without a fence around. Still they are together. What keeps them together? One flock and one shepherd. One shepherd. It is the shepherd that keeps it together. And that one shepherd is the one who spoke those words. Jesus Christ himself. Alright, for us there are no fences around. Did you get? You understand what I said? Think about the Jewish people, they had a law, the Mosaic law to keep them together. Think about the Gentiles, the religions and all, they all have their own setups, their own principles, rules and all that, that keeps it together. But let me tell you one thing, those who are born again, the New Testament believers, they are not kept together because of some laws or rules or principles or any outward strictures, outward restrictions, but we are together because of the shepherd who is in the midst, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are one flock because of that one shepherd. Is that clear? Is that clear? Come on, no one is saying yes. But I don't want to say yes if it is, answer is really no. Did you understand really? Yeah? Okay. So it's not another fold. You are not making another fold, but one flock. And when you think about that flock, the most important thing it is the unity. So in this class, we were trying to elaborate on that two aspects. Alright? The universal and the local. We saw what it is, and we saw its two metaphors, and we saw three metaphors which are common in both, and we saw its meaning. Body, it speaks of submission. Building should be habitable, and flock should be united, one. The Lord desires this about each local churches. Did you get that? And when you say about the local churches, we should think about our own churches back in our hometown, alright? Our own localities. And know the desire of the Lord.